buckle up, because you're about to experience the ride of your life.
All right, so welcome to That Film Podcast, Film Talk Q&A. My name's Alex.
And I'm Quincy, the Q part of the Q&A.
And, yeah, we're just two opinionated bastards who have nothing better to do than talk about movies.
That's true, we do have opinions. A lot of them. This is our first time trying to do this, so bear with us. Hope it's entertaining.
Yep, this is a work in progress, so if you don't like it, tune in next week. It'll get better.
Yeah. Or don't. Whatever. So, first thing we want to do is do a In Theaters Now section where we're going to talk about the last movie that we saw in the theater. And Alex, why don't you start us off?
All right. So, yeah, this past Friday, Snow White and the Huntsman opened up. I really had no intention of seeing this movie, but because we were doing this, I thought I'd see it and just get an informed opinion.
It looks pretty cool to me. Outside of the fact that it has Snow White in the title, I was planning on seeing it. I was at least going to sneak into it.
Yeah, there is that.
Either way, I have the intentions of it passing before my eyes.
I don't know. I just find it odd that it seems like every third thing coming out this year deals with Snow White. I just don't understand when she became so popular again.
Well, it's just a total of two movies, but, you know, I can see your tendency for hyperbole.
Oh, you got the two movies. There's the TV series. Betting there's probably something animated that I've probably, you know.
Oh, there's probably a new line of Barbies.
Oh, yeah.
Action figures.
Yeah.
Board games. It's infecting the world.
It is.
Snow White madness. Well, the girls got to have their things. And they're not really, you know, busting on the doors with new things for the girls to like. At least it's not Bella.
Not yet. Wait until the end of the year.
Well, you know.
Yep.
All right. One more to go in the Twilight franchise.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah, that's it. Just one more. It's almost over. It's almost over.
Figure by the time it comes out in January and it hits all the home videos and, you know, they show the commercial 18 times an hour, after that Tuesday that it comes out, you'll never have to hear about it again.
So then, would you recommend Snow White?
If you're curious to see it, I would recommend it. Like I said, to be honest, I went into it with my expectations so low. But it surprised me. It was almost like it was self-aware that we've only got so many laps around the track with this story. So they started focusing on other aspects of the story and dealt more with that and tried to play down other parts and maybe take you to a place you hadn't really been to as often. I did appreciate that the Evil Queen actually has a backstory.
So it was basically the exact opposite of my movie that I'm going to talk about, which is Men in Black 3.
Pretty much.
Which was, it's not a bad film, but it's not going to be known in any circles for its massive creativity and for branching out. I still say if you want to watch a movie with, you know, interesting aspects of time travel, stick with Harry Potter 3.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because this one was, it was okay. It was okay. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin does a great Tommy Lee Jones.
That's
the best I could say.
Josh Brolin was probably the only reason that I was even considering seeing this movie, just because I am a huge fan of his. But after seeing two, I just swore, never again will I see a Men in Black movie.
Yeah, two was bad. But so much time has passed that, you know, all those wounds had healed. And I loved the first one. I thought the first one was a lot of fun. So.
I did enjoy the first one.
And it always blew my mind. It's such a concept ripe with possibilities, and they just don't seem to really be doing any of those possibilities that in my mind they could have done.
Well, that's what disappointed me about, too, was the fact that essentially all they did was just remake the first movie.
Yeah. And yeah, they did.
It's like, you guys could have gone someplace fresh, new, and different with it, but you're like, oh, we're just going to take another lap around the track, and you people are going to pay for it. And I was like, well, no, I'm done. You know, you're not getting any more of my money.
In Men in Black 3, the main bad guy is played by Jemaine Clement, the guy from Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
But he's not funny at all. He's pretty much just a straightforward bad guy. Not much to him. It's just, it's kind of, I was watching it like, okay, well, why did you even bother casting him? Why cast a comedian if you're not even trying to have him funny? He was pretty much just, you know, a straightforward bad guy. Just kind of growled and, you know, I don't know. It was just kind of weak.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, everyone else seems to really be enjoying it. Besides me, and Alex won't watch it.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. You'll come to find that about Alex. He's not a big fan of any kind of sequels or remakes or or anything like that. Whereas I'd have a tendency to have an open mind, at least. Because I've seen far more movies that really should be remade. You know, I mean, I watched a movie this weekend called Primal. It's a prime example. It's on Netflix Instant Queue. It's not bad. It's an Australian horror movie about these people that are, like, hiking in the outback and... Oh, wait, no, they're going to some cave to try to find, like, these cave drawings. And there's something in the cave and something in the water that these slugs get on this girl, and she basically turns into, like, this primal, like, animal thing that... And it's like I was watching it, and I was like, wow, this is really kind of silly. But on the other hand, it had potential. It was pretty interesting. It held my interest. I was never bored, but... Yeah.
At first it sounded familiar, but then you started talking about the slugs. I'm like,
I
haven't seen that movie.
It was kind of like if The Ruins was like a virus that changed people into like cavemen or saber-tooth Neanderthal. I mean, it was pretty interesting,
kinda like,
to say the least, but...
Oh God, what was that piece of crap movie? Those Bat Boy creatures in The Descent.
Oh yeah, The Descent was a great movie. Don't even start with that.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a whole different podcast.
Yeah.
I did not care for that movie at all. Although, after hearing you tell me about how it should have ended with the original ending as opposed to the theatrical ending, which is the one I saw, that made it sound like it might not be such a bad film. But
well, that's why you should live in the UK.
Well, exactly.
So you can see the way. Or get someone in your family that bootlegs.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you'd be able to see the way it's meant to be as well.
Yeah, but my first viewing being the theatrical cut, and it just left a horrible taste in my mouth, and so never know.
It was good. If you haven't seen The Descent, you should really give it a shot.
But make sure you see the UK movie, for God's sake.
Oh,
the American
DVD
sucks.
Has the original theatrical ending.
Does
too.
It? Okay, yeah. All right. Like I said, I never picked it up. I looked at it, I'm like, no. Yeah. Descent 2, I'm like, that's what kills me. Is like, you know, you've got the Descent 2, which I'm just thinking, even with...
I'm sorry, that doesn't...
The original.
So you should quit talking about movies that have just been created.
Living in denial.
In your
okay.
mind. You're not going to acknowledge certain movies that don't exist.
Go to the safe, warm, happy place.
That's right. That's right. So have you watched anything recently, Alex?
Oh, recently. In fact, speaking of Josh Brolin, saw No Country for Old Men, which I love this movie.
How many times have you seen it?
I would say this is probably my third, possibly my fourth time watching it. I thought it's definitely one of the Coen brothers' best movies. This was really the movie I felt where... You know, Josh Brolin was really coming into his own.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you actually fall asleep within the last 10 minutes, and is that why you enjoy this movie so much? Is that what happened four times you watched it? That's about 2 to 3 more times than I've seen it and would ever want to watch it again.
I've stayed awake through it every time. I enjoy the hell out of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It had a great first half. I'll give you that. But I prefer my Coens a little more lighthearted, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still Raising Arizona, which is like their...
Yeah, but, I mean, you didn't like Fargo either. So, You know, I mean,
it's not that I didn't like Fargo. I just didn't think Fargo was all that in the bag of chips.
You did not like Fargo. Just because we're on a podcast, you're going to start pulling your punches. He didn't like Fargo. He'll openly admit this in normal conversation. Fargo was a good movie.
Fargo was okay.
It was good. At least Fargo showed you the ending. Instead, like, had one of the characters you didn't care that much about drive up and, like, witness it after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, No Country. Like, what? Really? No, really? I can't wait for, like, a Sixth Sense type of, hey, like an April Fool's Day. Like, ah, it's a big joke. We're just kidding. That's really not the sheriff that you've been, or the dude that you've been watching the entire movie dead on the ground. Spoiler alert. But if you haven't seen it by now, your fault, not mine.
As far as I'm concerned, though, it's like the Coen brothers basically have three good movies: No Country for Old Men, Raising Arizona, and Miller's Crossing. And then there's pretty much
those are good.
Everything else is just kind of everything else.
Nah, Fargo's good. Big Lebowski's good.
Again, not a big fan of Big Lebowski.
No, dude. Oh, what's the Our Brother, Where Art Thou?
I liked Old Brother.
That's incredible. That's a great movie. That's one of their best. By far.
It definitely rises to the top of everything else.
You think about it, you're still wrong. But, so, let's talk about the movie we just got done watching.
Yes. I just watched The People vs. George Lucas.
And what did you feel about this movie?
You know, I've always been curious to see it because being one of the people... versus George Lucas.
Well, let's explain what it is, I guess, for those who do not know.
It's a documentary. Basically, just these filmmakers have gone around and talked to all these different people about what they liked or didn't like about the Star Wars saga, how they felt that George Lucas had betrayed them by going back and remaking episodes 1, 2, and 3. The special editions that he did of 4, 5, and 6, and you know, it's you just get a wide variety of people.
The Kingdom of a Crystal Skull.
Well, then they start talking about the Indiana Jones films, and you know,
that was just a side tangent they go on for briefly, but well deserved.
Absolutely. Oh, that movie was just awful. But it just.
So, what'd you think of the documentary?
I enjoyed it. I really did. One of the things that did surprise me, because they talk about all the various aspects, you know, it's basically like they've kind of put George Lucas on trial. And, you know, some people are saying, oh, you know, he's like this, you know, mad genius. Other people are like, oh, the guy, you know, he's brilliant. He's wonderful. Other people are like, oh, and he's, you know, gone on the deep end. You know, the man was a quack. You know, never knew what he was doing to begin with. But they do talk about how back in 1977, when the movie first came out, you know, he was doing all this merchandising for the film. And they talk about, you know, all the pajamas and the action figures and the vehicles and, you know, just basically anything and everything that had Star Wars printed on it was there. But following along the lines of, you know, the creative genius part, George Lucas essentially gave us the action figure. And I can't believe that they didn't talk about that in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, before that, action figures were pretty much the G.I. Joe dolls.
Yeah, you had the 12-inch G.I. Joe, and then you had the 8-inch superheroes. And that was, and then, of course, girls always had the 12-inch Barbie. But, I mean, it wasn't until Star Wars that you had the 6-inch action figure.
Yeah.
You know, and that just completely changed the toy market game altogether.
Well, not to mention the cutting-edge technology of the lightsaber coming out of the arm.
Well, there is that.
I was blown away by that. As a kid, it was like, wow, he's got a lightsaber, now he doesn't.
Yep.
This is awesome.
Now you see it,
now you don't have to worry about losing it.
Absolutely,
it was attached to the arm.
Yep. Wasn't until The Empire Strikes Back that they started having those, you know, detachable lightsabers, and lo and behold, somebody's going to lose them.
So let me ask you a question. Do you remember the first time that, like, you heard of Star Wars or found out about Star Wars? Or?
Oh, God, yes.
Let's hear it.
Let's see. I was, in third grade? I forget if it was a commercial or a preview that I saw in a theater. Most likely it was a commercial that I saw on television. And just talking about, you know, this new movie coming out, Star Wars. And I was completely blown away by it, you know, like as all kids were. I was like, man, I gotta go see this. So we all trekked down to the only theater in Kansas City playing it, the Glenwood Theater, and sat in theater number one, and it was like a Saturday afternoon. I still remember at the door, they were giving out the, remember the Wonder Bread trading cards?
Oh, yeah.
They were passing those out at the door, and I got the R2-D2 card. And I'm sitting there, at the time, I'm looking at this, and I was going, R2-D2, what the hell is this, you know? But it's like, there I am, you know, sitting in the theater, and by the time that movie was over, I was like, I knew who the hell R2-D2 was. I thought that card was the coolest thing. I had my mom buying Wonder Bread from there on out, because I had to get the rest of those damn cards.
Oh, definitely.
You know, we were going to McDonald's getting the damn
glass. The Wonder Bread card.
Oh, you go to McDonald's, you got the glasses. You know, they don't do collector's glasses anymore.
And the last ones I knew about was Burger King with Lord of the Rings.
I was say, yeah, it was either, Lord of the Rings or, I think there may have been a Harry Potter movie.
I think they did Twilight.
Yeah, and as you say,
I'm pretty sure.
That does sound familiar. Yeah, but yeah, otherwise they, even Taco Bell for a while was doing the Batman plastic collectible cups when the Burton saga were, well, I guess the Burton and Schumacher took over. Those four films had their little cup line, but you know, nobody really markets movies the way they used to.
You know. No. Although, you can hardly, like, throw a stick in any store without hitting something with Avengers on it, though.
True. This is true. And I...
It just doesn't feel as... It feels more, mean-spirited,
yeah.
Kind of more manipulative now, but maybe that's just because we're older and... Yeah, some should. Might say cynical.
Yeah, I keep seeing all these... it seems like you said, pretty much in every store you go to, I've been to like Target and a couple of grocery stores just in the past couple of days, and I keep seeing all these Avengers birthday packages that you know, you got the cups, the plates, the streamers, the tablecloth, the, you know, every little thing you need for a child's birthday party, and I'm just going... It's starting.
Do kids still long to have their birthday at McDonald's?
I don't know.
I don't either.
You probably have a better line on that than I do.
My kids did when they were younger.
Yeah, so I don't have kids.
But ever since Super Size Me, I mean, it really changed the way that McDonald's markets, and they definitely do not push to the kids like they used to.
No.
Because they got severely criticized for it.
Yeah. Well, that's,
so
even
I'd be
Ronald
curious.
McDonald's kind of faded.
That's right. And even, like, all the different characters. That's the only one that they even still have around anymore, right?
Yeah. Because, like, the Hamburglar and Mayor McCheese and Grimace and...
Yeah. The most recent one was that bird thing. Remember?
Oh.
The birdie.
Yeah, wasn't it just called Birdie or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's the kind of creativity they have in McDonald's.
What was the one? The Big Mac... Sheriff guy.
Mayor McCheese?
No.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was a Quarter Pounder guy, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay, I thought it was a Big Mac guy, but I could be wrong.
No, he wasn't big. What, I don't know.
He had, like, the cop uniform going, and he was like...
I don't know, this is
Sheriff.
Why I get in trouble.
Sheriff Big Mac, or, you know, I don't know.
I don't either. Anyway. So, have you seen anything else lately? I watched a movie today called Knuckle. You heard of that?
Huh.
It's a documentary on, these traveling clans in Ireland that, basically, you ever seen Snatch?
Yeah.
Okay, you know Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is basically a documentary about people that...
The Pikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they call themselves the Travelers, and they bare-knuckle box to resolve, like, these issues among the clans. And it was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was one that actually, when I was watching it, I was half tempted to stop it and save it to watch as the movie for me and you to watch before we did this thing, but...
Alas, you did not.
I did not. And I don't regret it.
No, otherwise, I think the last movie I saw was probably The Avengers. And I have now seen that movie four times.
Four times. That's amazing considering you hated it. No.
It's amazing considering the fact that I can't even think of a movie in recent history that I have wanted to see more than once in the theater. In fact, I have to go back to last summer when I was watching Machete and The Expendables just two or three times theatrically. And granted, it helped that I was working in a movie theater at the time. And then, you know, I was also with somebody who was really into both these movies as well. But otherwise, I'm just like, those are probably the last two movies I can think of that I saw more than once.
And I'm sorry, I guess I must have mentally blocked it. You said The Expendables was one of those, huh?
Oh, hell yeah.
Huh.
I love The Expendables.
So you're going to catch the midnight showing of Expendables 2, the PG-13 sequel that's going to rock so hard?
Not on purpose.
It couldn't be any worse than the first one.
I got to agree with Hitler on The Expendables 2, you know, as much as it pains me to say it. But yeah, for those of you who haven't seen the YouTube video, look it up. Just look up Hitler and Expendables 2, and you too will find yourself agreeing with the man. It's very scary. But have you seen this?
No.
Oh, dude, you got to look this up. This.
I can't believe you're dropping Hitler's
again. I know.
After the debacle of the other podcast you were on. I can't believe it. His name was Officer Big Mac.
Officer Big Mac.
That
okay.
Creativity, once again.
Yeah.
And then Captain Crook.
Captain Crook.
Though
wow.
I'm not familiar with him.
I remember the name, but
Uncle O'Grimacy. The Happy Meal Gang.
Okay, I do remember the Happy Meal Gang.
Yeah, I remember them too. I remember the McNugget Buddies.
Wow, I barely remember those guys.
So, any other movies coming out that you're looking forward to?
Honestly, not until July.
And what is that one?
Dark Knight Rises.
And why are you looking forward to that?
Because I've enjoyed the shit out of the last two, and...
So you didn't think that one with Heath Ledger, that the Joker was the only thing interesting in it?
Oh, hell no.
See, I did.
I thought that Batman Begins and The Dark Knight are... You know, and I base this off of being just a huge Batman fan. And admittedly, you know, I'm not here to say that I have, you know, read every story and all this. But I've seen every movie. I've seen every serial. Anything put on film, these two movies are the best Batman stories. Period. End of sentence. So... I'm looking forward to that. What is that really saying, though, son?
I mean, really, what is that really saying? Let's compare it. You got the Schumacher shit, and that's all we're going to say about that.
Exactly, that's all you need to say about
that.
So,
I mean, really, he could have done anything, and it was going to be better in the public mind. It's kind of like The Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, all that's got to be is, like, functionally competent. And it's going to be the best thing to ever come out because people remember Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
And after Spider-Man 3, it's like you can pretty much do anything. As long as you don't follow that kind of storyline and that mentality, you're good to go.
Yeah, but do we really need yet another Spider-Man origin story?
Yes, we do.
We just had one 10 years ago.
We need one that works. And we need one that sticks to the only string of comic lines that worked for Spider-Man, which was The Amazing Spider-Man. So I'm excited about this reboot. I'm more excited about this than The Dark Knight. Personally, I found The Dark Knight, wasn't that the second one? That's what that was called. Yeah, I found it extremely boring.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that Heath Ledger was great.
Yeah.
And any time the Joker was in frame, I was mesmerized.
Okay.
But as soon as he left and it became about Bruce Wayne and, you know, eavesdropping on people and Harvey Dent, who gives a crap, and oh me, oh my, pores. I mean, I don't want to see Batman as a little bitch. And I think that that's what he's turning into. He's turning into a mopey little, whoa. And really, I mean, I'm Batman. It's so stupid. I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I'm a big fan of Christopher Nolan's vision.
Yeah.
As far as I love the whole realistically played out, which is why I loved Chronicle. Did you see Chronicle?
I did.
Great movie.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that aspect of it. But I don't know. And maybe it's just because everyone is so apeshit over The Dark Knight. And everyone's just, oh, it's one of the best crime movies made, let alone one of the best superhero movies. And it's just like, eh, whatever. It's heat. You know, it's heat with makeup and costumes. I'm sorry. So
I hadn't really thought of it that way before, but okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad, and I know that people are, like, turning over their graves listening to this. Like, oh, my God, how can you say that? But, yeah.
No.
You know what? C'est la vie.
Yeah, that's your opinion. I really thought you were more into the whole Dark Knight franchise, but...
Personally, I like Batman Begins more than I did Dark Knight.
Okay.
And I feel like I've seen the third one after that preview that I saw before Avengers.
No shit.
I mean, it really feels like I've seen, like, every high-low. I know that he gets his back broke. I know that, I mean, it's just like, really?
Yeah.
All these mysteries, I'm like, it seems to be solved, and maybe there's more to it.
I'm hoping.
I am, too.
Yeah. I'm not
really, when I look forward to, like, when I think about movies that I'm, like, pumped to see, that's just, it's like when I think about it, it's like, oh, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
But I'm not real excited.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd say, yeah, it's like Dark Knight Rises. That'll essentially mark the end of summer for me.
The beginning and the end. Both together. The only two movies came out this summer, Avengers and Dark Knight. Bam, that's it.
Boom, done. Yeah. No, because, I mean, there's, what is it, like, there's some Woody Allen film coming out that...
Oh, who cares?
Well...
Who? No one cares. Dude, just stop. You're going to make people turn off our podcast talking about Woody Allen. No one gives a crap about Woody Allen. Not even old people anymore. There's like a handful of people, and it's just because they think they're better than everyone else. That's the only reason they like Woody Allen. So just stop. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't know. I can still say Woody Allen will entertain me. He does have the ability. He also has the ability to, like, bore the shit out of me. But I'm willing to give it a shot. Savages, the new Oliver Stone movie coming out.
You know, is it just me, or would I be a lot more excited if Oliver Stone wasn't directing it?
You know?
It's like I see the preview, and I'm like, wow, this looks like an old school Oliver Stone movie, and I see it's Oliver Stone. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
never mind.
I keep looking at this film, and I'm just going, this is an Oliver Stone movie? But then I keep having to remind myself, it's like, well, so was U-Turn.
Yeah.
You know?
But it really feels like a Tony Scott movie.
Oh, it does.
It's like I watch the previews, and I'm like, oh, a new Tony Scott movie, and it's like Oliver Stone. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. It's a definite mindfuck, but you're just kind of watching this going, Tony, no, wait. Oh, really? Oliver Stone. Okay. Could be.
And then you start, like, breaking your mind of what he's made last. At least that's what I did when I saw the preview. Yeah. I was like, he's still alive? What has he done? I was like, oh yeah, that great sequel, Wall Street 2.
Oh,
that's the one that everyone was clamoring for.
God, I don't see why.
Who was demanding for the first one to come out on Blu-ray? No one.
Oh,
it's like, I don't know anyone that's like, man, I really want to watch Wall Street.
See, personally,
I know people that would rather watch Boiler Room, where they quote Wall Street insistently, than actually watch Wall Street.
Okay, I can see that. Because, yeah, I did enjoy Wall Street. I also enjoyed Boiler Room probably slightly more. But
Boiler Room was great.
Yeah, it's like, but Money Never Sleeps. I remember hearing about this, and I'm just going, oh, man, somebody just wants another trip to the bank. This just feels like a movie that is being made to exploit the masses. And
then you, like, start hearing the cast.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, we need someone that's going to make people give a crap. Who's hot? Wow, that Shia LaBeouf kid.
Seriously?
The kids love this guy. But it proved that, like, no one gave a crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Gordon Gekko, who was so cool in the first movie, really wasn't all that in this movie. You're just going...
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, did you see it?
I did, yes. It was a work-related accident. I had to sit through it.
So it was as bad as the previews made out to be? Because I dodged that one.
Oh.
I didn't take that one for the team.
I had to. I got paid for it. But,
Well, then that makes it even better, really.
Yeah, that was like the only saving grace. Like, well, okay, I got paid to watch this piece of crap. But otherwise, it was just...
It's not so bad.
It was not a good movie.
What did he do before that? That Alexander? Is that the last one he did before that?
I think so. And that movie sucked.
Yeah, well, hello. Before that.
I mean, no matter... How many versions of Alexander are there out there currently? I mean,
it doesn't really matter. Is there going to be one that's going to be like, this is the good one?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what all those 18 other versions were. This one is great.
Oh, my God. It seems like no matter which incantation of this film you see, it's just bad.
So Oliver Stone's kind of like George Lucas, something no one gives a shit.
Yeah, really.
It's like, change it all you want. No one's going to like it anyway.
He just keeps trying to get one that people will like. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just... No.
So no Prometheus?
Hell no.
No, why not? Let's hear why. What is it? Raping something? Was it raping? Was it violating?
It's Alex? Not raping. It's not violating anything. It's just, do we really need to know what happened to the ship before Alien?
Have you not seen the preview? We know what happens. It goes to Earth. Hello. They've got to stop it.
Ooh.
Talk about another movie I feel like I've already seen.
I know.
But I don't care. I'm going to see it. And it offends me that you haven't. Ridley Scott is going back to space. That's it. That's all you got to say. He's finally going to try to make a good movie again. He's like done trying to make all this crap he's been doing.
Well, I would feel a little bit better if he was actually doing something fresh and creative as opposed to just, you know, revisiting.
So you're telling me if John Carpenter was like, all right, I'm gonna remake Halloween. Or I'm going to do Halloween, you know, John Carpenter needs to remake Rob Zombie's Halloween. Let's get meta, bring it full circle.
John Carpenter re-envisioning Rob Zombie.
Exactly. Re-envisioning zombies, re-envision yeah. of Carpenter.
Oh my God.
That almost made my head explode.
It did. Because, yeah, it's like, you can't take Michael Myers, essentially the boogeyman, make him a sympathetic character, and expect people to give a flying rat's ass. Cause
no. Although, I have to say, I thought that the Zombies remake, the first half worked. If I can distance myself and like be like, okay, this isn't the Mike Myers that I grew up with, and kind of watch it for the film that it was, I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it got pretty bad when he like tried to essentially remake the entire Halloween movie in the last half hour. Like, what? What are you doing, dude? And then he doesn't even stick to the ending.
Yeah.
He like decides to add another 10 minutes onto the end of that, and he even screws up the remake. I mean,
oh God, yeah.
It's like he was dealing with a stacked deck from the get-go. I mean, yeah. Who was he going to please? No one. But he gave it a shot. I mean, if nothing else, he did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that he was going to make it his own. He was going to make him sympathetic. And everyone was bitching and moaning, and he did it. And yeah. then I respect the guy to a certain extent.
But then he came out and did Halloween 2.
Hey, you know what?
And then
his wife needs a job.
From what I hear, he's got Halloween 3.
His wife needs some money. That's it. That's all I'm saying. And he has nothing to do with Halloween 3.
Oh, wow. Kind of like John Carpenter.
Yeah, but I bet there's no way that this Halloween 3 will even touch the original Halloween 3. I want them to remake that. That's what would be interesting. Like screw over a whole
remake
new generation.
Of the Witch.
Yeah, just screw over a whole new generation. Like get all these kids like, I love Michael Myers. I love Rob Zombie's remakes. I'm seeing it. And then they go in there and walk out and like, it's about mask. I don't understand. It's like, that's how we felt too. Welcome. Welcome to adulthood. Oh my gosh.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I think Prometheus has potential.
Yeah.
I think it looks visually amazing. And I've always really appreciated his eye.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott's eye. I don't know, what do you think the last good movie he did was?
Gladiator?
Nah, Matchstick Men was good, dude. Did you see that?
Never
I thought that was good. That was a solid movie.
Did that come out after Gladiator?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
But we're not arguing much here.
Yeah.
It was like a couple years after Gladiator.
Yeah.
But
it seems like he's done something since Gladiator. But
see, I wasn't
Gladiator's
a fan of Gladiator.
Ah, see, I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
I did the first time I saw it. It's one of those that it's kind of like a super bad to where ever since I saw it the first time, every time I try to watch it since then, it just kind of bores me.
Yeah.
I just can't get through it.
I was never a fan of Superbad.
You know,
it just felt like three different movies.
Yeah.
It kind of, you had like the first 15 minutes, and then you had this middle part, and then there was just this ending that felt tacked on. And I'll admit, I mean, I kind of enjoyed the middle part of Superbad. The beginning part, I thought, okay, well, where are we going to go with this? And then, yeah, you've got this tacked on ending that I'm just like, what movie are they wrapping up? Did I fall asleep? Did they change, you know, did they skip a reel or something? You know, what the hell? But.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, just that whole part through the middle. Oh yeah, he did do Black Hawk Down, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a good movie. Or were you not a fan?
No, I enjoyed it. I thought the book was better, but how could it not be?
Yeah. So, have we talked about the Hunger Games?
Oh, wait a minute. Kingdom of Heaven. That's the one I always forget that he did.
What'd you think of that?
I enjoyed that.
You know, I've heard several good things about it.
Yeah.
Especially the director's cut. Have you heard that? Have you seen that?
I have not seen that. I saw it theatrically, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
And that's about the Crusades?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty boring subject matter. I could see why it kind of bombed.
Yeah, I understood exactly, because it didn't really get a lot of publicity, and critics, I guess, weren't really jumping on the bandwagon. But, no, for what it was, I enjoyed it.
Hmm.
But I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I don't know. What was I saying? What were we talking about?
Well, right before I mentioned Kingdom of Heaven, where you mentioned something. But
I don't know.
Okay.
That was so long ago. I can't follow these conversations. They ebb and flow. They jig and jag.
There you go. We'll just edit that part out later.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. We may just leave it. It's like, this is what it's like. Trying to get a thought out with Alex. I try to talk and I just get interrupted. He's all, oh, Kingdom's Heaven. Oh, that's it. You know how people are that way.
Bastards.
So do you have Netflix?
I do not.
Well, most people do. And we thought that it would be a good idea to throw some suggestions out for people that do. For some movies that are out there that haven't really been advertised at all that, you know, me or Alex may have stumbled across because he gets to watch a bunch of movies because he'll go to festivals and things that sometimes don't make it to the theaters as well that are definitely worth seeing. Probably the first one that comes to mind is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, hell yeah.
If you haven't seen that, you really, it's worth the $8 for the month of Netflix instant streaming just to see it, really.
Yeah.
It's a splendid little comedy, especially if you have any, you know, knowledge of the slasher genre or the old hillbilly out in the woods genre. It's really a great movie. Why don't you give them a synopsis of what it's about, Alex?
Synopsis. Well, so you've got these two guys, Tucker and Dale, and they are just these good old boy rednecks who have inherited what they call the summer house, which is essentially this just rundown cabin out in the middle of the woods. And while they're out there trying to fix the place up, you've got this group of college kids who, of course, are just, you know, lost babes in the woods and just come out with all their college prejudices and everything else towards things they don't understand. And I mean, it's really just kind of like a comedy of errors in how you've got the college kids who keep looking at these two rednecks as somebody to, you know, just fear and not be trusted. And then you've got Tucker and Dale, and they're just trying to be helpful, and everything they do just gets misinterpreted.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's really funny. It's also really gory. And
yeah, okay.
It has some really great kills.
Yeah.
Pretty inventive. So I would definitely recommend that. I would also recommend a movie called The Black Death. It stars Sean Bean, and he basically plays a crusader. Or not a crusader. It's the time of the Black Plagues.
Okay, so
the Middle Ages.
During the Crusades?
It was? Okay.
Okay.
Then yes. I'm really great with history. Basically, you know, everyone's dying and the country is going bad and they can't grow crops, but there's this village that reportedly can grow crops and there's a necromancer living there, and him and his band of essentially mercenaries go to this town to basically figure out what it is, and he's like on, you know, on the Catholic payroll, so he's all about getting rid of witches and demons and burning them at the stake if possible. But sounds kind of like a gloomy bummer of a movie, but it's actually really good. It is kind of a bummer, but it's really original and it's pretty intense. So
it's got Sean Bean, so it can't be all bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go wrong. He's definitely made some stinkers, especially on Netflix, but
well,
this one isn't.
He's so got to pay rent, too. But
yeah. I would recommend it.
That was called what again? Black Death?
Black Death.
Black Death. All right.
Yeah, it's essentially a take on the Black Plague.
Yeah. Well, yeah, after you said that, I was like, so it's about the plague. And it's like, yeah, it's set in the Crusades. Damn, so, okay. So.
Yep, yep. Yeah. then another, well, let's do a little thing of get to know Alex. Alex, what kind of genre would
Breaking
you say
it
is
down,
your favorite?
Getting to know. All right.
Well, just, I mean, you know, if you can, to know where we're coming from as far as our opinions and what we like and whether you can relate or not.
Yes.
What kind of movies do you like, Alex?
What kind of movies do I like? I am a big horror guy. I do like horror films. Despite what you might think.
I was going to say, because this is a funny statement that he says, because if you continue to listen to these podcasts, you'll find that he really doesn't like any of them. And
I like good horror movies, okay?
What's the last good horror movie you saw, Alex?
Last good horror movie I saw was...
Poltergeist in 81.
Well, yeah, oh, okay, so we're talking, like, contemporary horror films. I was thinking back on stuff that I've seen recently, and I'd probably have to go with, you know, probably The Fog or something, but...
No. You can't, like, oh, I watched a classic last week. That's the best one I've seen. I'm talking recently.
Okay, recently, theatrically...
What's the most recent?
Most recent horror film...
As far as your release.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself drawn to foreign horror movies more than American?
Surprisingly, no. I've got nothing against foreign horror films. I just don't really... Obviously, they never play theatrically. I don't really get out to the video store all that often. Even the library...
They don't come to Redbox?
The library, you know, will rarely carry them. They usually carry, like, you know, Ringu or...
the ones that have been remade.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you're just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, here's the original Korean version. Ooh, ah, yay. Like I said, I've got nothing against them. They just seems like the ones that I've seen haven't really floated my boat, so I don't really go out of my way. I know you're a big Korean horror fan, and you're always recommending films. I usually try to find them, but God, I am hard pressed.
Yep, this is the big horror fan here.
Has there been a good horror film? Okay, I forgot about that one, because that one I consider more of a comedy.
But it was still solid, great.
Cabin in the Woods was...
The last 20 minutes were pretty horrific.
Oh, yeah.
In Eddie Wood's book, so even if I was laughing,
obviously. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was one of those movies, like, when that came out. I mean, the best way to describe Cabin in the Woods, if, you know, to put on my little, you know, critic speak hat here, if you loved Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, then you will definitely like Cabin in the Woods, because Cabin in the Woods is just... I really had some doubts going into it, but it really pulled its head out of its ass and really surprised me.
And if you've never heard of Behind the Mask, that's another one on Netflix you should definitely put on your queue and watch.
And
if you don't like horror movies, there's probably better podcasts you could be listening to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but, you know,
Yeah.
It's not the only ones we're going to be talking about, but that's definitely the area of my expertise.
Yep. We don't talk about sparkly vampires here.
No. And if we do, we probably don't talk them in the way that you want them, if that's the thing that you like. You probably won't hear much positive vampire speak coming from this way. Outside of the surprising Fright Night remake, which I bet Alex has yet to see.
You're right. Alex has yet
Damn
to see it.
Damn it. That's what we should have watched. Okay, now we got next Sunday's movie. Figure it out. Yep, see, that's... Tell me why.
How can you improve upon the first one? The first one was just great. And
yeah, the first one is a classic.
Yes.
Yeah, this one doesn't try to improve upon it. It doesn't try to even retell the same story. Takes the concept and tells it in a new, refreshing, fun way.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you, you'll be hard-pressed to find a more entertaining horror movie in the last few, 5-10 years. Okay, maybe that's overstating it.
I was going to say, because you had Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
It's fun. It's fun, dude. I'm telling you, if you would just give it a shot.
Maybe I will. In the name of the podcast, maybe I'll give it a shot.
How bad could it be? How long could it be?
How many times have we asked that question? How long can it be? How bad could it be? Oh, my God. am I still sitting through this piece of shit movie? Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's probably good for this first one.
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's good. Let's wrap it up.
I'll try and trim that down a little bit. So, yeah, it'll be about 40 minutes. So. Yeah.
They might get a little longer in the future, and they might not.
Yep.
We'll just have to see. Feel free to give us some feedback and reviews, and appreciate you listening. Yeah,
hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, let us know what you think.
We all cried at the ending. We all stayed for the credits. And I kept my ticket as a souvenir. Found our way by the usher's light to the place outside. Parked the bikes underneath the neon sign. Matinee, hey, why go late when the movies are cheaper during the day? Come down about twice a week to put our feet on theater seats. Admission's cheap and the soda's free. And while my best friend's girl worked a ticket stand, and the boss is gone, she gets us in. We all see the matinee. Hey, matinee. Hey, why go late when the movies are cheaper during the day?
This has been a Phase Media Podcast. Find us online at justaphase.com. That's Phase with a mother effin' F.
Phase.